Hi, I'm Danica Johnson.
And I'm Chris LeConte.
And we're Champion Chat 360.
Hey guys, you want to do us a favor? Like, rate, share this with a friend or an enemy. We really don't care. Just share it, like it, rate it. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Champion Chat 360. Today's a little bit different. It's just me. We had a little bit of mamahood stuff come up, so Ravenna's been a little sick. Our guest that we had scheduled, she's actually a new mom, or a pregnant mom, so she's been sick as well, and we weren't able to get a schedule in before this went live, so you just get me. So today, I wanted to talk to you about something I think that I would have liked, slash what I was given when I was a new trainer. So I think I pretty much told you guys this before, that I've been a trainer since 2005, which is the year I graduated from college. I graduated college with a degree in kinesiology, a second degree in sports rec management, and then a minor in coaching, because my dream job would have been to coach. And what I originally thought I was going to do is to coach lacrosse, field hockey, or track at high school or college, like a small college, something like that. So that's what I thought I was going to do. But then I stumbled into personal training, and a significant other at the time actually was like, you should do this NASM thing, and when you move out here, we'll find you a job. And when here was out to Chicago. So I moved from Maine to Chicago. So I did my certification in about a month because I was right out of school, so I was right in the groove of it. You do get 6 months to do it. Everyone's a little different, so don't worry about how long it takes you. I think now you can actually take longer, but I'm not sure about the base certs. I think you have to get them in within 6 months. Some of them I believe can take a year to do. Anyway, I digress. So when I started, I didn't know shit. Well, let me rephrase that. I thought I knew something, and as I am the trainer of, I guess, 12 years now, I look back and I didn't really know much at all. All I knew is what the book told me. So what the book tells you is a great starting point, or the course tells you, whatever way you do it nowadays. It's great, but it leaves out a lot of the other little things that will make you better. So I wanted to go through just top 10 things that I wish I knew back then, or things that will help you move forward in your personal training business now. And we'll address it from two ways. One, from in-person and online, because when I first started, there was no online business. I worked in a gym, a large corporation outside of Chicago, and that was my life. But as the field has evolved and technology has helped grow the business of personal training, it's really good to have the idea of both. And I actually like carrying both online and personal. The one thing is because it's personal. And I really do enjoy my in-face time with people. And it could be because that's how I started. So I really love to see the people in person. And I feel like I get more in depth with them. I know that we've talked to Katie, who does online personal training, and she really enjoys that a lot more than her in-person. It might also be a thing with your character, but that can be a sub thing where you are finding out what your niche is and what the best way that you like to help people. Because you became a personal trainer probably because you want to help people. And if you became a personal trainer for any other reason, then you're a shitbag. And you shouldn't be doing it because you could probably hurt someone. Or if it's just about money, then you're an asshole. So that's my two cents. Anyway, okay. So tip number one is, even if you're just starting out or if you're a professional, is number one, never stop learning. And that becomes in the science world, the social science world, social science, and sales. So one of the things I recommend when I was hiring people was always a NASM or a base certification. So NASM cert, CPT is my favorite. There's ACE, there's ISSN, there's all kinds of them that are just base certifications that you're going to start with. Because as I said before, when you first start out, you're just getting used to the movement patterns. And as you become a better trainer, which is the next level, that social science part of it, is knowing the why behind the movements really going to help you. So one of the things that I really liked and why I wanted to be a trainer when it was an option or someone made it a thing for me because, to be honest, I came from Maine and no one was a personal trainer. No one had a personal trainer that I knew. So when someone said, you should be this, and this is a real thing that you could be, I was like, oh, makes sense. I love how the body moves. I think it's the neatest thing in the world to be able to see how your arm and my arm are supposed to do this, but what if it doesn't, and how can we make that better? So biomechanics was my favorite. The next part of it, though, is that social science that Danica's all about, I would say, is the brain. So it's not technically a muscle, but we all know it's going to affect. I'm really not smart in the grammar department, so whatever. It's going to cause the body to do X, Y, or Z or not do it. So when you understand that people are human and that they do things for a reason, it'll really help you understand their movement patterns, and then that will also help you understand their goals. So their movement patterns and also their eating pattern. So when their eating patterns could be habit, it could be something that they are bored. So again, habit. It could be a defense mechanism, whatever it is, but it'll all show up once you can see it. You'll be a better trainer for doing that. And one of the things about that is you're gonna have to learn how to speak different languages, all in English, if that makes sense. So you're gonna be able to speak the person's language that you're talking to. So one of the keys that I've learned is how to cue people differently. So have different things that you say to them. Have different things that you explain the same movement. That will really help. I think we've talked about that just with training on the last episode of what we say to get our glutes to fire or how we get our clients to get their glutes to fire. Learning how to speak to people, learning how to listen to people is probably more important than just how to speak to them. The last part of that is sales. So when I was a baby trainer, I came from Maine, which again, no one had a trainer, like I said before. Money was always a thing for us growing up. It was never something that was easily there. So I don't know why anyone would be like, yeah, let's just get a trainer. Let's just spend $69 for the base training rate for 1 hour when I was a baby trainer to get that. I was like, $69? Good Lord, that's a lot of money. So I had to learn how to sell and be okay with selling. So part of the things, one of the things I'll say later on is personal. Take like, make it personal, but not personal. If that makes sense. This is one thing that I want to tell a lot of the baby trainers is take yourself out of the equation. So this is a personal training session for them, not for you. So that could be mentally, physically, and also the sales part where don't be scared to say how much you're worth. First, you may need to feel like you're worth that. And it might be hard because money, again, might be a thing for you, but you're a personal trainer. You're there to help them. Say it could save their lives. It could save their livelihood. It could really make their personal life better because then what, I mean, think of all the great things people do when they feel better. Look good, feel good, play good, right? You have to take yourself out of asking. I felt weird saying, to get to your goal, it's going to cost this much money. Which freaked me out, and I was scared to say it, so I could turn the client off because they might think, oh, does she not think that she's good enough? Or does this is that too much for me to achieve my goal? Is that not realistic? And you don't want to give them doubt because it's not about you. And they might be sitting there and have millions of dollars, and $69 an hour for them is nothing. And as you get as grow and get more certifications, don't be scared to charge more because you're worth it. You paid X amount of money, or your parents paid for X amount of money for your education. You paid for your certification. You're worth it. So I just want to stress that part. A couple things that helped me with that was obviously NASM, like I said. Start with a base certification. The certified personal trainer is a great starting point. You can take the test online. There's lots of great things now that they help you. There's books. There's online courses. I had like flashcard things when I was doing mine. So, whatever you need, they have it. And I think you can take the test twice. I'm not sure what it is anymore, but when you take it first time, I believe you have two times or three times. You'll have to look that up. So, that would be part one. There's also the part of the never stop learning is always get new certifications. So you're going to need CEUs or CECs every year. So when you have your CECs, I liked to use that as getting another certification. So that's when I went and got the next one, the corrective exercise specialist and the performance enhanced specialist, and then so on and so on, my P Pilates and yada yada. So I use that to actually reevaluate my first cert and then give me more education, because the more tools you have in your belt, the better you're going to be. And like I've said before, my Pilates really is something completely different than just a regular personal training, but it really helped me in my personal training business. And there's always online things that you can do. So one of the things I did as a personal trainer when I first started was ptonthenet.com. They had a resource library of all different movements. If you're just starting out, you're not going to know everything. And there's so many ways to skin a cat, as they say. I know that's so sad to say, but there's more ways to crack an egg. I don't know what's a better way to say it, but one of the things that would be really good is to be able to see a different exercise and then knowing what's a good regression or progression for your client. So maybe they want to do something different, or they're not feeling in a certain way. Let's try this way. Or they're advancing, or they're hurt today. They've come in really stressed. Let's bring it down. Because you also want to make sure that their mental ability is aligned with their physical ability, and that can change daily. PT on the Net is a paid subscription, but has a huge library of progressions and regressions. It's kind of like bodybuilding.com, but it has actual the it tells you what a progression and regression is. I know bodybuilding.com is great because it has every exercise they can think of, or we can think of the same thing, but a little bit more, just something close to it, but a little different that you can check out. And then the psychoanalyst, the social part of that I would recommend to help with that, to get that better, is a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's an old book from, I believe, Carnegie wrote it. Dan Carnegie wrote it. He was alive in the early 1900s, so maybe, I don't know, 20s. I don't know when it was wrote. Anyway, great book. It'll help you understand and listen to people and listen to what they're not saying. And the sales part of it that I would really recommend that goes great with that is that book, Let's Get Real or Let's Not Play. It's a great book that helped me with sales and helped me realize that, again, take myself out of the situation, and that will be something that really makes you a more efficient salesperson without being a salesperson, because you're not selling them anything. You're giving them a prescription of what they need to make their life better. You're not going to upsell them. You're not going to give them anything they don't need, because you're not a douchebag. So just remember that this is what they need, and this is what's going to help them get to their goal. Okay, number two. Whew, that was long. Number two is get comfortable with the sales part, which I already talked about, which was, take yourself out of the equation when it's the sales and focus on it's their life, it's what they need, and it's what's going to make them better. And it's not you asking for a price, or you're worthy or not worthy for a certain price. So, number three. This is something that is different, depends on what kind of way you go, but I would recommend almost everyone now to get your own insurance. Now, I didn't have my own insurance when I first started out because I worked at a large corporation and they insured us through there, so I didn't need it. But when I came to a small family-run business in Maine, one of them I was insured through their gym and their company, and one I was not, so I got my own insurance. Highly, highly recommend it, just in case. You never know. Usually people sign an assumption of risk, but it's really important to have just in case. But the other part of that is don't do stupid shit with your clients. Like, you do not need to have them standing on a BOSU ball, or let me rephrase that, standing on a regular ball doing squats. I'm sure you guys have seen the meme of the guy standing on a ball with the bar on his back doing squats. I'm just like, when are you ever going to do that in your life? When you're going to have your feet so externally rotated or supinated that you're ever going to do that? Unless you're taking it into the bouncy house and you're trying to PR in the bouncy house. Anywho, online too. So with the online business now, it's really important to not only remind your clients that you are a personal trainer, you are not a doctor, you're not a physician, and as they say, only registered dietitians should be giving meal plans. If you get a nutrition certification, which is another thing, you should have a nutrition certification to give any kind of plans or eating habits things to your clients. If you don't, you're just walking a dangerous line. So not only with the certification should you have that if you're getting nutrition, but you should also have your insurance because of that, and obviously ask the questions, have them fill out something that would be the next thing we're talking about, which assessments. But you need to have your butt covered. So always have insurance cover for your movement patterns and for your nutrition and slightly mental. Never diagnose. It's not your job to diagnose. You can always refer out, especially if it's something that you see, like a eating disorder or any kind of injuries that come out, always refer them to the correct medical professionals. But you never want to leave yourself open for a lawsuit. So the next one will be 4, is develop an assessment for in-person and online. So I know it's harder online because you're not seeing the movement patterns of a person, and them doing their exercises aren't going to be the same as you giving them the cues in person. So remember that. But when you have them doing assessments, obviously you're going to ask lifestyle questions, their eating habits, their workout habits, injuries, lifestyle, whatever it is, all that stuff should be in there. If you need any help with that, there's lots of different assessments that you can look up. I can give you some advice, Dana can give you some advice, but you're not reinventing the wheel. You can just take a basic one that you can probably find on PT on the Net, probably on bodybuilding.com or NASM. I'm sure they all have basic ones that you can ask. So if it's online, a great way that I've helped myself with it is I ask them to send me videos, but I also send videos, and I send videos speaking through. So again, I coach through the internet by showing the movement and saying the movement, so that's 2 different ways to communicate to your clients. But then I also have them send it back to me if they're having any problems, because even though you say something and you show something, if you've been a trainer for any time at all, you know that doesn't mean jack, and people can definitely end up going in one ear out the other, or they just don't understand what the movement pattern should feel like, so they don't do it the correct way. So that would be my fitness assessment, I would say, for online. And then in person is you do everything that you would like to do. I like to take the basic movements. I take a single leg balancing, so they're just a reach and balance, a squat, a lat pull down, plank, push-ups, and I think that's my normal basic ones. It depends on the person. Sometimes I'll add a little bit if the person's at a higher level. If they're lower, we wouldn't do that much. Sometimes I add lunges in, sometimes I don't. So it depends on the person. But again, you can find a normal fitness evaluation tool on NASM or PT on the Net, or probably on bodybuilding.com. It's a really important thing to never start a person off with weights if you haven't seen them move their own body. I highly recommend that. I don't care if it's me walking in who's a seasoned veteran, but if you were going to assess me and you put me on the weights right away, I would question your knowledge, because even though I'm under the weights, doesn't mean I'm doing it properly. Make sure you see someone move, and then you can progress the assessment from there. Move the own body weight is the most important thing, because that's where our path of least resistance can start. And then if you add more weight, obviously it can make it show up more, or it can hurt you more. So just be careful with that. Next one. So this would be number 5 or 6. I've already lost track. But we'll keep going. Shadow other trainers. Learn from quote-unquote veterans. And then also, for veterans, get your head out of your ass and learn from newbies. There's always different ways to teach the same thing. So that's why there's so many different ways to learn. It's because there's so many ways that people can teach it to help different people. It's really important to let your ego go away when you're a newbie and you're a vet to grow and develop your skill. It can be something as in you've really great in one area, but you really am not great in another area. You
take your ego off and, accept that you're going to be a student now in this one. And if you're someone in the fitness culture, I'm hoping that you're a science-based person in your heart, so you're always wanting to learn. It's okay to go and say, "Oh, yeah, I would love you to walk me through this," or "I don't think I do this right. Can you talk to me about this?" It's really great to learn from someone else. Again, one of my favorite sayings is, "You're not going to reinvent the wheel, but you will put your own rims on it." That's something that is important when it comes to fitness or any kind of job, to be honest. If you want to be better, you have to be open to learn and know that you don't know all things. And I joked about that before with pregnancies. It opened my eyes to be like, holy shit. Yes, I knew how to move a pregnant body, but I never knew what it was like to move a pregnant body as a pregnant woman and as a post-pregnant woman and as a competitor and da-da-da-da, whatever. So realize that you don't know everything and be open to the fact that you can still learn, even though you have this certification or you have this degree. Don't stop learning. Keep learning from other people. You'll learn different cues, you'll learn different ways to assess. It's just really great to be open. So the seventh one is give your time. Personal training is about building a business, it's helping people, and the business is helping people. But you have to give your time to start building your business. What does that mean? You're going to have to give away free sessions. You're going to have to walk a floor, is what we used to call it in the company I used to work for. Walking the floor means going and saying, "Hey, how you doing? My name is so and so. Do you mind if I give you a tip today?" That's a free tip that you're giving that person that maybe it's going to help them change their workout and they'll be like, remember you, and then they'll come back to you someday. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll have a friend. And that's the next part. Referrals. Give free referrals. So when a client is, this goes with the number eight, is a raving fan of yours, and that's your goal. Your clients are your walking billboards, and they're going to be your best marketing tool that you have. So if you can create a raving fan who will market everything for you, and they do everything that you say, and they get the results, and their friends want to know what they're doing, and you're the thing that's helped them. You're not the everything, yeah, we know, but you are the thing that helped them. Give your client a free session for any referral they give. I had this thing that a mentor gave me when I was really low and didn't know if I was going to still do it because I was having a hard time getting clients. I was having a hard time with the sales part. And he said, "Go give five business cards to each one of your clients." And I know that sounds like a lot. Five opportunities for them to get free sessions, but they're going to refer five friends. So I know you've probably seen this, like if you have one person and they refer five people, it's like the whole pyramid scheme, right? Five people, and then those five people refer five people, and you can see how your tree is just getting bigger and bigger, and that your book of business can get bigger and bigger, and that's the way to do it. Will it work every time? No, but it doesn't matter. You're still in front of someone. Will you gel with everyone? No, maybe not. And that's part of it too, is remember that you're going to have a clientele that you work really well with, and then you're going to have some that you're not going to work really well with. But just remember that you have to give time to get started. And it's going to take time. We've said it before, it takes a long time to get a book of business down. It's a commission-based job for most people, and you're going to have to give that time to build that business. If you're diligent and you really love it, stick to it. Just like if you've done prep or whatever, it will work out if you put more time in. So what's that saying? The more you put in, the more you'll get out. It's true. It's going to be like that with personal training too, when you first get started. Gary Vaynerchuk says it's a jab, jab, hook. Online, give away free tips. Give away, give away. Then maybe ask them to buy something. Give away, give away. Ask them to buy something. We give away a lot on this program because we want you guys to be educated. But if you guys ever wanted to work with us, this is a great marketing tool for us. We're giving our time free on this podcast. We don't get paid for this. We don't have any sponsors yet. Maybe someday we will, but we like to communicate to you all, but does that mean that it's not a vehicle for us to talk about our personal training or our online training or our thoughts and stuff? Absolutely. It's a great way. It's a jab, jab, hook here too. So do it on your own social media, on your own blog, whatever it is. Friends, family, give your time up. Okay, number eight, we said, is the raving fans. Okay, number nine, be personal but not too personal. So remember, it's your client's hour. They don't want to hear your bullshit. They don't want to hear how bad your day is. They're not coming in here to be your therapist. You're pretty much their therapist and their body mover. So you're there to listen to them. You're there to help them through that workout, help them forget about anything that's going on outside of this workout, this hour, half hour, whatever it is, this week prep, whatever it is for your check-in. You want to make it about them. So many things in their life is probably not about them. I'm just taking it from a woman who is a new mom. Everything I do in my life right now is not about me. When I go to the gym, that is my time for me. So in your client's hour, think of it like that. This is their time for them. They're personally training with you for themselves. So ask them questions about themselves. Get them talking about themselves. Maybe they don't want to talk about something, but get them to focus on them right there at that time. If they ask you questions about your life, absolutely you're able to communicate. Do my clients know everything about my life? Yeah, they know pretty much a lot about my life because they see some things on social media. That's obviously not everything about my life, but they ask about Belle, they ask about my life, and I do. I tell them little things here and there. I ask for advice if it's something that I feel that they're an expert at, because people like to talk about themselves and they like to talk about things that they're great in. But I don't want to walk into a session and make it a bitch fest about my life. I want the client to be able to feel like they're giving something to me if they want to, but then remember that it's not about you, it's about them. And that's another thing too, if they ever get frustrated with your movements, remember it's them having to figure out their movements in their head. It's not, never take anything personal, basically, is one thing. And it's hard because sometimes you come really close to people and it gets like that personal level, and you just want to watch it and keep it professional. Okay, last one I have here. So number 10 is have a thing. Whatever it is that got you into personal training is probably what your thing is. So for me, it was female athletes. I was a female athlete my whole life, and when I became a personal trainer, that's what I focused on. I was able to market myself as a college athlete who played field hockey and lacrosse in college, and that's what I aimed for. So I first started working with female athletes, young college / high school age athletes. I did have some that were a little younger than that, but that was later. I really just wanted to be a positive role model for young females and athletes because I, again, thought I was going to be a coach, and I really enjoyed the coaching part of sports. I was always someone who enjoyed helping, seeing the field, whatever, or helping someone in a track who was working with me. I recommend that you market yourself, find your niche, and own that. But remember, your niche is going to change over time. I started out with female athletes, and it'd be funny, it is kind of funny that I am now a personal trainer who is mostly working with females. I think I have one male client right now. I have two online male clients. It's interesting how you always find your people, find your tribe, they say, but find the thing that your niche is. My niche is still athletes in a different way, kind of, right now, but it's also progressed. So I went from just wanting to work with athletes to performance-enhancing specialists for athletes to corrective exercise so that people didn't get hurt when they're doing their sports. But then that also led me into the world when people come back from physical therapy, their corrective exercise specialists really helped me to help them progress their training after their physical therapy, or help to notice imbalances and to help stop the progression of any kind of injuries or negative movement patterns that they had. And I was able to then move into working with people who had those injury patterns, or like I work with my silver sneakers now. And that's one thing that I really stress in that hour that I do in that class is movement patterns. So it will progress. It will change. It might bend and weave. You might find a different group that you work with. And that's okay. That's perfect. It's about evolving. I mean, it's science. Science is always evolving. And if you stop evolving, that's when you're going to stop being a good trainer. So knowing your niche, but being able to be flexible with it.
I think that's about it. I think I'm all talked out. I can't believe I talked for as long as I have. But who are you kidding? I'm a talker. I'm a talker. Let's talk. Coffee talk. I will love another coffee, cup of coffee. Sorry, I got weird there. So, thank you guys really for everything that you guys say and do. I just wanted to talk about a couple things real quick before I end. We have our free forum that we're doing, so it's Champion Chat 360 forum Facebook group. It is a closed group, so you're gonna have to ask to be invited in if you'd like to. We've started posting some videos in there of movements that we have. We'll start doing anything in there that you really want to talk about. That's where we're really gonna build our family, is in there. Again, it's a free thing that we're offering, and we'll be hopefully posting anytime that you need it, once a week at least. You guys are welcome to post anytime you want. It can be questions, it can be, you can ask us about your posing, all that stuff. It could be relationship. We are not experts. We're not Dr. Roofs, but we could definitely help you. And if you have any questions personally that you don't want to share on that, you can email it to us at championchat360@gmail.com. That's championchat360@gmail.com. You can find us both on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We don't have a Champion Chat Twitter yet, but we probably both have our own personal. We're out in the world, basically. We hope that you really enjoy these. Our goal is to help you guys, because I know when I was a young buck, a young female in this world, was really looking for a mentor, and that's what our goal is here, is to help you guys feel like you have someone. And never be worried about messaging us or commenting to us. We enjoy it. We'll definitely help you as much as we can. And we're all in this together, right? No one is an island. And if you are an island, you're definitely alone, and you're going to be start talking to a volleyball. So you're a weirdo. All right, I'm going crazy. So thank you for listening. I hope you have a great day. We will talk to you later. Bye.